Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Just before we get going with the podcast this week, just wanted to say a massive thank you to everybody who shared the podcast we did last week on the mental health thread on the forum. Thank you for all the support we've had with that. I just wanted to check in quickly before the podcast starts this week, the conversation that I had with Groucho on the Palace game, the first 2 minutes of the podcast. Again, I had a little issue with my microphone. Got to get it sorted. It's a little bit crackly, but stick with it because it's fine after about 2 minutes.
And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakechi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go.
Hello and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Caretaker manager David Unsworth praised Everton's great resilience and desire after they twice came from behind to draw 2-2 at Crystal Palace. Leighton Baines scored from the penalty spot again after 5 minutes, and in first half stoppage time, Gylfi Sigurdsson played in striker Umar Nias, who punished Crystal Palace with a calm finish and then ran off, giving it the big one to the fans, which I quite enjoyed. Some facts from the BBC website on Everton's 2-2 draw down in South London. Everton have conceded inside the first minute of 10 Premier League games now, which is more than any other side. Or you do have to consider the fact that we've been in the league for a long time. Still, not a statistic that we want. Umar Nias has scored more Premier League goals this season. He's got 5 in 7 games now than he managed in his previous 2 seasons combined, 4 in 22. David Unsworth is the only defender to score more Premier League penalties, 22, than Leighton Baines. Baines scored in back-to-back Premier League games for the first time ever. And Palace have collected 5 points from their opening 12 Premier League games. Only one team have survived relegation, having won 5 points or fewer at this stage. I'm going to put Dave on this box. He's joining me, as always, to do the Grand Old Team podcast this week. Dave, who was the last team to survive a season after picking up only 5 points or less at this stage?
Everton.
Yes, Dave. Come through, exactly. Yeah. Do you know what? I read that at first, and as I was reading it, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be something about Derby or something, and then it was us.
Also know that against Watford, that was the first time we'd come back from being 2-0 down at home to win 3-2 since the Wimbledon game?
Yes, I think I did see that, you know. I think I did see
And we have done it once in the league since, and it was a couple of seasons ago against West Brom away, but that was the first time then when Martinez was the manager that we'd done it since at all. And last week, 2 weeks ago, was the first time we'd done it at Goodison since. And one thing you mentioned there, just Leighton Baines is 22 goals, is he? How many did David Unsworth get, just for my own curiosity, because he can't be far behind?
Oh no, so David Unsworth is the only defender to score more Premier League penalties, so he got 20,
right,
he got 22 and Leighton Baines got 20 in terms of total goals.
Oh right,
I have
not
no
far
idea.
Behind then,
I don't know how many Unsworth got. Did Unsworth get, say, did he get about, say, 30? I don't know. I don't even want to speculate.
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Well, this is why we've invented Google. Whilst I'm just Googling that, we have. No, why did I say we've invented Google, like me and you have? I meant we as a species, I suppose. Not like me or you. That, I mean, you know, I'm not going to take responsible for that. He scored, hold on, according to Wikipedia, he scored 23 in total. 23 goals in total. But then, what, 22 of them were penalties? Can you believe that?
And I think the one that wasn't a penalty was scored
on
his debut.
Sorry, there's a... No, hold on. He scored 34 in
right.
total.
Sometimes when you look at stats,
stints, remember, no, because he obviously went from 92 to 97 and then was back again from 98 to 2000.
One thing that does my head in when you read stats sometimes, with Wikipedia, it really does depend on who's put them in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But when you read stats sometimes, you think, is that all they got? And you read to the bottom and you think there's an asterisk and it goes league only.
Yeah.
And you think,
yeah.
Well, no, I wanted to know all competitions. You know, it's that's just a little bugbear of mine.
Yeah, no, it is a bugbear because I had this with the conversation with Davey Weir because I had a little look how many appearances he made, and then there was a difference between how many were listed at the top when it breaks down their career and then what was actually written in the text. And that issue then occurred with Unsworth is, as I say, I looked at his 98-2004 stint first.
Yeah.
But anyway, we digress as we always tend to do. Before we go on to the match, how are you, mate? What are you drinking anyway?
I've got Modelo.
Modelo.
Tonight. Yeah, Modelo.
What's that?
Oh, sorry, it's a Mexican. Sorry, Mexican lager, 4.5%. I've just got the lighter one at the moment. It's widely available, but you can get, if you're lucky, in some places they do a darker beer. They do a full range, as far as I can see. Come in a little funny shaped bottle. It's quite comfortable to hold, to be honest. They do a dark lager, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Are you having the lighter one? Because
I've got the lighter one. Or... No, it's the lighter one because that's all Tesco had.
I'm with you. Okay. Fair enough, you're having a drink on a Monday night.
I'm off work tomorrow, you see. I've just done...
You're off work the other week?
I was off work the other week, but I've just done 8 days solid, so...
All right.
Yeah, it's fair enough, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. So you do shift work, don't you, I believe? Is that right, mate?
It's not shifts as such. I used to when I worked in the hospitals, but where I work now, it's regular hours, but if work across the weekend, I do tend to work right through and then get a day off after that. So that's me tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's like your Friday night then?
Pretty much, yeah. This is Saturday night in my house.
Saturday night, okay.
Currently now, yeah.
I'll let you off, mate. I'll let you off. It's your... So if we did this podcast on the weekend, obviously I'd be having a drink. This weekend, I went to watch Paddington Bear with Molly.
We went out
some food on Saturday night, yeah, and went to watch Paddington Bear, which I loved, but I've been really annoyed because I keep on seeing... For some reason, I keep on seeing these edgy tweets about how Paddington Bear associating him with the Conservative Party. And I don't really understand this. I mean,
I think you'd have to remove that from the kids' film. I mean, me kids... Have you seen the first one?
I love Paddington Bear. I just don't know why people keep on calling him a Tory. He's this is an apolitical podcast. I don't want to go down political lines. He's a bear. I've never seen him express any like desire or love for the free markets. Do you know what I mean? He's a bear in a red hat.
I don't think Paddington's ever tried to privatise sandwiches.
No, exactly.
Or anything. No.
If anything, I think he's probably a little bit more of a liberal, to be honest. Or maybe even a socialist. I mean, he shares that Marmite around. Anyway, I've been seeing it. It's pissed me off a little bit. Because it's complete... Well, it hasn't ruined it for me because, you know, he's a bear at the end of the day. But anyway, if you get a chance to go and watch Paddington Bear, it's... It's well worth it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be taking them. They love the first one, so I'm sure I'll go and see this one. I think we've got Despicable Me 3 next up in our house. We missed it on the cinema, so I think that's going to be ordered on the Fire Stick or whatever.
You've got kids. Me and Mol just went and watched Paddington. Like, we haven't got kids, so we...
I'm fully behind that. We used to go and watch all the Wallace and Gromit films and all that when they came out. You like what you like.
Of course you do. I'm not sure if Paddington Bear is a full kids movie anyway, is it?
No.
You know.
No.
But it was fantastic anyway, and I went to watch that. I watched the match on, managed to get a stream, and we went out after, and I was pleased with, I was upset, right, how can I put this? I wasn't very happy with the performance, but in the end, taking into consideration the game, I was happy with the point. How did you see it, Dave?
Well, David Unsworth said at the end he was delighted with the point. I don't agree with him.
No.
I accept a point. Don't forget, this is the bottom of the league side who have just got a new manager. And they were at home. And they were putting up a bit of a fight. If we're taking our blue hats off just for a second, I suppose... You could say realistic, reasonable point. I'm not ecstatic, not over the moon. Wouldn't really say I was happy, but I'll take that for now. Because Unsworth seems to have stopped the rot. He's won one, he's drawn one. It's been a couple of games since we lost now, which we'd have taken
two
when he took over. So I'm not happy, but I'll take it. I think that it was an okay point away from home in the Premiership when we've not really been at our best. And we were... We went behind twice. We didn't go 2-0 down, did we? It was 1-0, 1-1. Yeah. So we went behind, we came back, we were away, it's a point.
Yeah, I think you have to put it into... you have to think about the actual game and what went on in the game. As you said, we went behind twice. And one positive I will take from this whole... from the last two games, the fact we have managed to come back from behind. You know, we've got that ability to do that. Away at Palace, we didn't manage to go on and get the win. But I think, you know, you don't want to lose your away games. And if you can pick up as many points as you can on the road, and then normally, you know, you will get more points at home. You know, you'll be okay, kind of as the rule goes. But I think on Palace for a second, I think their position in the league isn't really a representation of them as a side. I think they're quite a good side, and I think the fact that they're bottom, you know, you go there and you think, you know, we want to win today, and of course, you know, we all wanted to win the match. But I think just looking back now, I'm more disappointed in the performance, Dave, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Palace will finish bottom.
No.
I don't know whether they're going to finish in the bottom three or not. I don't think they're going to finish bottom. And they've got someone like Zaha. Mm. You know, I mean, I'd take Zaha now for us. You know, I know he's not the best striker in the world, but he's better than what we've got. I'd take him. I know. I mean, Roy Hodgson's their boss, isn't he? I suppose wanted to get one over on him because he's the next Liverpool boss. But, I mean, I don't know.
I think on Zaha for a second. Mm. I think you're right. I think they do have players like that. I mean, you know, I've always. I don't know whether.
Could it just stop there? They've got Zaha and Benteke. Benteke, who was actually linked with us this summer, and people said, "Nah, I wouldn't have him." I reckon everybody who said, "Nah, I wouldn't have him," would be going, "Yeah, I wouldn't mind him now." You know, maybe through gritted teeth. But anyway, sorry, that's another point.
Well, yeah, I know. I think I went on one of the times I was on TalkSport, I actually said out loud, you know, that I'd have taken Christian Benteke. And I think in the summer there were a few people turning their noses up because we were linked with Giroud. And out of the two, you would obviously go for Giroud. But looking back on it now, I mean, yeah, of course, Christian Benteke would have been a decent shout, even though he has been injured. But, you know, yeah, Zaha is for me, a really, really good footballer. I think he's got everything bar that end product, to be honest with you now. I think since he's been back at Palace, every time I see him, you know, he's got that burst of pace. He's a lot stronger than he used to be now. He can go past a man. His delivery is just probably the only thing where he probably needs to work on a little bit. I mean, I don't see him all the time, so there might be Palace fans listening to this going, "You've got no idea what you're talking about." But also the likes of, and you know, I saw that Chico had obviously done that in his match preview. He'd had a little bit of a bit of fun at Townsend, which he does in a brilliant way. But Townsend again is another footballer, I think. So look, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. You know, Kabay in the middle, who I think is a little bit similar to Morales in the sense that if you don't watch him all the time, you rate him a little bit more you know what I mean? He's one of them players that you rate maybe a little bit better. If you see him all the time, you're probably not that complimentary about him. I think
I think we were guilty of doing that with Leon Osman.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I mean, I know he's not the most popular person. I know today he's come out and said that Tony Pulis should be our manager, which I 100% disagree with, and I know I'm in good company with you there. But take away some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I actually think he was an okay little footballer now and again. And I think he became a scapegoat because he was unspectacular. Maybe photos surfaced of him when he was a kid in the Liverpool shirt, didn't he? That never goes for someone's favour. But yeah, I know what you mean. I always lumped him in sort of that. You know, he was an okay footballer that perhaps we didn't... I'm not saying didn't appreciate or anything, because I know obviously he wasn't a world beater or anything. But I would sort of lump him... In the sort of for us, in that sort of category.
Yeah, yeah. There are them footballers that if you don't see them a lot, as I say, I've mentioned it before. I have supporters of other clubs say to me about Morales and say,
you know, oh, he's really good. I'd probably take him. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Would you really, honest to God?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's for that 10 minutes that you see on Match of the Day, you know, you don't really...
I do wonder about... See, people don't actually watch full games. Do they watch the highlights and they think, oh, I'd have him. And you think, well, if you watched the full 90 minutes, no, you wouldn't be saying that. You've just seen, you know, 20 seconds of him being a world beater there. And what you've missed is the other 89 minutes and 40 seconds of him doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I hold my hands up to that, to be honest.
I'm guilty as well. I'm guilty of that. You probably find that like 90% of the people listening to this will say, yeah, that's me.
I think... Yeah, I mean, you're more familiar with your own club, for one, unless you're one of these lads who watches football all the time, which is fine if you can do that. My life...
Realistically, though, it's not... Exactly, I couldn't do it.
I have to make time to go and watch Everton, or if they're away, try and get a stream and try and, like, shape my life around that. But, you know, I suppose it's an issue as well, if you're like me, where I don't have any of the sports channels. I don't have Sky and I don't have BT. We just get by without it. We never had it. I think it's the expense. Not saying we won't in the future, but, you know, and I think there's probably a lot of people like this as well. So you only do see... I mean, I always try and catch Match of the Day, and you know, and then the bits and bobs that you do catch when I'm, you know, around having tea at my mum and dad's or at Molly's family. They, you know, watch it on a Sunday afternoon. They'll have a match on. But it's, the point I'm trying to make is that for most football fans, I think, you know, you only do see little glimpses of the opposition. But from what I've seen of Crystal Palace, you know, I think they have turned a corner. I think that was a decent point on the face of it. And I think when we look back at the end of the season, they'll probably be in like 15th or 14th place, and hopefully we'll be a little bit higher. But we'll probably be able to look back on that and go, actually, that was an okay point.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll be. What did you make to Niasse's penalty?
He died.
Sorry, not the. Obviously, he didn't take the penalty, but you know the
he decision. Died. It was simpler. He shouldn't have gone down. He died. If there was contact, it was minimal. But let's be honest. If we were Crystal Palace, we'd be saying, "I'm livid. What's he doing?" We'd be fuming, and we'd be fuming quite rightly, absolutely rightly. I've all the sympathy in the world with the Crystal Palace fans, but we got a penalty. We took the penalty, we scored it, it got us back in the game. It got us a point, ultimately. How many times have we been on the receiving end of that compared to the times that what happened on Saturday? We are far more often on the receiving end of that than the beneficial end of that. So, I know when they say swings and roundabouts, it evens itself out. I don't think it does. I still think we're in massive, massive credit. I think we've got tons and tons and tons of decisions of that ilk to come our way. So yeah, it was crap on Crystal Palace. How many times has it been the other way around though? So I'll take that.
I think that's
he dived. One of them. I don't like our players diving, but he dived, and we got a point.
Did you? That's the thing though, isn't it? It's that moral kind of conundrum as a football fan, whereas you know it's not right and he shouldn't do it, but you take it because at the end of the day, the position that we're in, you know, we need all the points that we can get. I do. It's funny though. I think it is down to... I honestly think it's slightly down to the individual player, in the sense that when I remember being back, when was it? About 2009, being down at Fulham with Everton, and Joe dived. Blatantly dived, and I remember like the Evertonians obviously being in the Everton, and we gave him a bit of stick for doing it. It was a blatant dive. He didn't win the penalty, and I think that might be why he probably got the bulk of the stick. But also, it's down to the individual. We never really took to Joe. I think Umar Niasse has probably maybe got a bit of a free pass. And if he'd have gone down, dived, and we wouldn't have got the penalty for it, then I think obviously we'd view it quite different. I suppose it's a bit of a moot point because, of course, we're going to view it differently because we went on and scored from it. But I suppose just from a purely from a football ethical standpoint, though, do you not need a bit of consistency and just say all diving's wrong and therefore I condemn Umar Niasse for doing it?
All diving's wrong and I condemn Niasse for doing it. Is that okay? But we got a point. So there we go. So, it's easy to say that after the fact, isn't it?
And morals go out the window.
Is that okay? I think that cut it, didn't it?
I agree. I was just putting on like my professional but no, I don't care.
Yeah, we've got a point. Like, get in.
I don't care, mate. Yeah, it's a point at the end of the day. And I, but be, it does swing in roundabouts, though, Dave, doesn't it? I
still think we're owed massively from referee decisions since, like, 1997. I honestly...
Yeah, well, every football fan thinks that, Dave.
Yeah, oh, of course. No, I agree. But I think, let's be honest here, Man U and Liverpool get far more in their favour.
Yeah.
We don't.
Well, that's statistically true, isn't it? I swear. Yeah, if you
exactly,
look at, like, the
yeah. You could probably lump Chelsea in with that now.
Yeah, well, Chelsea are very good at winning, or Chelsea are very good at forcing referees to make decisions, the way they all get around the officials and start getting in their faces and that. And I think, you know, we've had this conversation before as well, mate, but, you know, it's not, that's not something that we've historically associated with Everton. Mm. And I think since Rooney has come back, Rooney's very good at that from his Man United days. He'll go and get in the referee's face and try and make him think about things a little bit. Morgan Schneiderlin did it when he first came. Now, I don't know what on earth has happened to that fella.
But I know, it's like he's been abducted by aliens and replaced. I know. Someone else, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you think his Everton career is almost over already?
I don't know. I think it'll depend on what managers come in.
Right.
Whether they stick with Unsworth or they don't stick with Unsworth, I don't know. It'll probably depend on whether he likes whoever comes in or gets on, rather, I should say, not likes, whether he gets on with whoever comes in. If the new manager sees him as part of the plans, no, he'll, you know, obviously he'll stay if he's playing you know, a lot. If the new manager doesn't fancy him, he'll be out the door. I think it's as simple as that. Form goes out. Form is one of those things. Gets forgotten about these days, isn't it? Either someone's the best in the world or the absolutely awful. Years ago, players were... That gets forgotten about. He might just be out of form for various reasons. Maybe he came here because he liked Coleman, and then Coleman's gone, his head's gone down because the man who bought him and he's played under a couple of times has gone. So it might just be a confidence thing with him. I remember the saying the similar thing about Barkley, which is he's another story altogether now, isn't he, with Coleman gone. But no, I don't think it's over. I think, though, it does very much depend on whoever comes in, whether they fancy him or not.
I'm just thinking about whether or not he'd fit into the Silver's side. Morgan Schneiderlin of last season most definitely would, because I think that someone like Marcus Silva would, if you think about the way that he set out his Watford side, it's very combative, and he likes his midfielders to press. Not in a Manchester City type way, I don't think. I think, you know, I don't think he expects that much from them, but he does want them to, you know, to try and win the ball back. You think about the way he deploys, say, someone like Tom Cleverley. Tom Cleverley's in there to break up the play and whatever. And Morgan Schneiderlin obviously does that far better on his day. You're right to point out form, and I think
it's just getting players in form. I think that's a big key. I think we've got a lot of out-of-form players.
Well, the point I was making there is that I do think that if someone like Marcus Silva came in, if he could reignite Morgan Schneiderlin, if he could get into the level that the levels that we saw last season. I'm thinking, what was it, Manchester City at home, 4-0. He was, he was quite good in that game, was he? Or did he? I can't remember. There was a game anyway. He was exceptional last season. My mind's gone a bit blurry now. But the point being is, depending on who the manager is, you're right. I think the overriding point I'm making is that I haven't quite given up on Morgan Schneiderlin yet. I think he's out of form. I think there's a whole kind of myriad of issues around him, the fact that, you know, the whole situation with Kevin Morales as well, and potentially walking away, and
do we actually know how true that was, or are we still conjecturing? Was that sort of admitted to, or was, I don't know, I'm still, it's unclear, isn't it, I suppose?
Exactly, because all ones were said is that, you know, they're dedicated to the cause or something, and just kind of half denied it. Morgan Schneiderlin's tweet was weird as well, but anyway, I think just in terms of his actual ability as a footballer, I think if he can get some of that back, if he can get a little bit of confidence back and get into a little bit of form, I think we'll, you know, be singing his praises again, because as football fans, we are guilty of You know yourself, Dave. You know, me and you spend a bit of time on the internet, you know, on Grand Old Team, and then also on social media. And I think we're just very quick to kind of abandon players.
Of course. They do want, you know, they could have like three great games, and as soon as they make one cock up in the fourth game, that's it. Never get them out the side and all that. Yeah, it's human nature. And that's compounded by the fact that football fans' nature is very, very fickle. Even in the most level-headed of us, which I would say that us two probably are, you know, we're guilty of it as well.
Of course. And you can be influenced as well. I find this, you know, I always try and think critically about any issue, football or outside of football. But when it comes to footy, you know, I always try and not be influenced, you know, deliberately think, you know, what have I actually seen myself?
Yeah.
However, it's hard not to be, because you go onto Twitter obviously being the best case in point, I think, even more intense than the forum. And you can go on there thinking, oh yeah, no, I think that Marco Silva would be a good shout. And you see three or four tweets from people, you know, highlighting certain things, and you're like, oh, maybe he's not. You know what I mean?
You think I'll tweet this, and then you read before you tweet, and you go, delete. I don't think I'll bother saying that after all.
No, neither of us want to be involved in the Twitter crank world. No, I'm joking. We've done well to avoid that, mate. I don't know if you get a shout. No, I'm messing.
No,
I'm joking, Dave. You'd never get a shout. you know, obviously, we're talking about Snidlin and the other senior players. One thing that I put on the forum on Saturday night after I got back from watching Paddington Bear was, again, you know, it's not so much the results. They obviously, I'm unhappy with the results, but what really nagged me out was the performance from some of the senior players. I'm thinking people like Garner as well, you know. And they're the ones that we need. I mean, you know, the young lads come in and I think they, you know, they've done a terrific job. They run around a bit. I thought Tom Davis, when he came on, was a bit erratic, but again, you know, he was forcing the issue a bit. John Joe Kenny's been superb, but we really need the senior lads like Sigurdsson, like Garner, as we said, Schneiderlin and the others that we've got within the side. You know, we really need them to step up soon, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you one thing I did think was impressive on... hang on, sorry. Can you just edit this bit out? I've had an accident with the chair there, sorry. I'll just start that bit again. It's okay. Sort of. No, I fell into the door. It's all right. The air dad was doing the glossing today and my foot slipped. That's all.
Oh, shit. You're right, mate, or not?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm okay. No, that's okay. Right. Yeah, I fell over the paint pot. He's just left a little bit lying around. No, that's okay. I'll start again. One thing, one player I was impressed with of the senior players on Saturday was Aaron Lennon. I thought he had a really good game up and down that right side. You know, I was thinking as well, once Coleman's back, you're going to have John Joe Kenny, who I know he's young, he's learning, isn't he? And he's going to have to look to the likes of Jagielka and Keane. Who I thought he nearly gave the game away at the end, didn't he? I don't know what's happened to that lad, Keane, actually. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Aaron Lennon, up and down the right side. He can tackle, he can run forward, he can cross, he can get back. It's taken him this long to get back in the side, I don't know. Whether it's just Coleman didn't fancy him. I think he's actually come out to say that since Unsworth's been the manager, he's been made up because he's back in the side. I think he's a good. Okay, he's never going to be. He's never going to win the Ballon d'Or, is he? But he's a good little player up and down that right side. Once Coleman's back, you've got Coleman, you've got Lennon, you've got Kenny, all interchangeable up that right side. We've got a reasonably strong right side there. Okay, you know, it might not be a league winning one, but it's certainly not a bottom three right side. Sigurdsson, I thought, was all right. He wasn't fantastic. I wouldn't say he was. He contributed to the goal, the one at the Niasse's goal, didn't he? But I'm not entirely. I don't know. I don't know what's happened with him. Whether it's confidence or form, or the fact that a manager really liked him and bought him, and then got instantly sacked. It is difficult to say.
I think all of this is pointing towards how we need a real kind of period of stabilisation, I suppose, and
yeah.
just things to settle down. And what I want to happen now, if they've decided on Silva, I think Phil Neville said something on Match of the Day similar along these lines. Again, he's another former Evertonian who I think gets a little bit too much stick. I think he's I think he's quite a nice fella, Phil Neville.
I think the only issue I've got with him is when he said finishing seventh for a club like Everton is okay. That's the only issue I've got with him. If he hadn't have said that, wouldn't have had a problem. Take that away, fine.
He actually said 10th.
So 10th, did he?
Worse than that, Dave. Yeah, no, 70. But again, I agree. And from a supporter's perspective, right, that is horrifying if you're an Evertonian.
Yeah.
But
if you take that away, yeah, no problem with him.
I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I do, because I quite like talking about Phil Neville, because I know that he infuriates people and people kind of split down the middle. I mean, there were some Evertonians, I think, probably like the hardcore Scouse away following probably never properly touched him because he's a Mancunian. I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I can't hold that against him. Like, but one thing I would say though is that I think we've got to take into consideration that, right, how can I say this without getting included in some kind of Twitter poll? Right, I think from his perspective, he's played for Man United for like his whole career, and Man United are one of the biggest clubs in the world, and he comes to Everton and he isn't going to know the history like we do. He isn't.
And he was a boyhood Man U fan as well.
Exactly. So he's going to think in his head that 10th is okay for Everton, because, I mean, you know, yeah, all right, he might be able to remember the 80s, but he's still, you know what I mean? So, okay, I don't...
In his playing career, we weren't exactly flying high.
Exactly. I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, that's all. That's all. But, but he said regarding the manager, he said Everton need to get it sorted sooner rather than later. If Marco Silva is the man they want, go and get it done. You know, just give Watford what they want within reason, obviously. And if they need to go to 12 million, then go to 12 million and get it done. Bring him in. And then you know what it'll be down to if this happens, Dave? It'll be down to us as the fan base. And I mean this now. And I said this on the forum. And I'll say it again on the podcast. And I'll probably end up tweeting it when he gets announced, because he will, I think. We need to give him some time, and I don't want to see or hear people getting on. It doesn't matter if it's Silva, if it's another manager, whoever it is, they need a bit of time. Like, we can't follow suit with some of the other, you know, fan bases around the country and jump down managers' throats this quickly. We really can't.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. If you're going to hire a manager, you're going to have to give him time. And in some case, if it's going to get to the point where, are we going to want managers to win every single game and have a 100% record and then slate them as soon as that 100% record goes? It's just completely unrealistic to expect them to jump through hoops like that.
It is.
It can't be done.
No.
You know.
And we've got
just can't. And exactly. You're going to, we're just making a rod for our own back as supporters if you're expecting that. You know, It is a difficult one, because we want to aim higher, and we had designs on top 4, 5, 6. You know, we wanted to break that, and it's gone absolutely down the pan as quick as anything I've ever seen before. And I think in some ways that's maybe caught the board by surprise. I think they thought, oh, Coombe's doing all right. You know, we've just lashed money at him. All of a sudden, that's gone out the window. And what did they do then? I think that's why they didn't have a plan B.
Probably, yeah, definitely. And I don't think
they had any intention of sacking him.
No, absolutely. No, of course they didn't. And that's shown by how long it's taken to get someone else to identify. I mean, we did a podcast on the candidates, assessing the candidates. You can go back and listen to it for anybody who isn't familiar too much with the podcast. A month ago today. Now, if you'd have said to us, oh, by the way, lads, you'll still be talking about who the next manager is going to be in a month's time, we'd have probably both laughed at you.
I wouldn't have believed that.
I wouldn't.
No.
And that's terrible. But that's the position we're in. But again, you know, whoever comes in, we've got massive issues in this squad.
Oh yeah.
Not in the sense that we do have some good footballers, and I'm looking at you know, the side that started against Palace now. And I think, you know, all right, there's a few players out of form. There's some experience in there. There's some good young lads. All right, a few additions, a decent centre forward. You know, then we could start to talk. But at the moment, whoever comes in, the goal for this season now has to be to just stay in this league, right? If we can finish high up the table as we want, but if the guy whoever comes in does that, fantastic, and then we go again from next season. But the point I'm trying to make is we really need to get behind whoever it is. I hope it's Marco Silva. If it is, then fine. And if it is him, then I just don't want to see tweets after three games if things aren't going swimmingly of people saying, "I wonder whether Silva's got this right. I wonder if we've got this right."
Well, I actually think you're being very generous by saying three games there.
I am, yeah.
Because I think if we're, you know, not winning by the 30th minute, you can already hear the tweets of Silva out. You think, oh, come on. I know that's an exaggeration I've just made, but someone will do that, even if it's tongue-in-cheek, obviously, which is, you know, that's a laugh. But you just know that some people, if he hasn't got a 100% record after seven games, they're going to do the nuts.
I know, and that needs to stop. And I think the only way it can stop is if it becomes almost socially acceptable, unacceptable to do that. And I think, you know, if you're at the game and the guy next year is, you know, being too flippant as soon as the next manager comes along and is getting on his back and not giving him any time, then it's probably, you know, within reason, you've got a right to say, look, mate, like, it's just can't be doing this. And the same if you see it online. I just feel that, you know, we probably just need to do that as a collective to kind of maybe...
One thing that I was pleased about, though, was that when we went 2-0 down against Watford, everyone was thinking, oh, Christ. And then all of a sudden, everybody got behind the team.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
1-3-2.
Exactly.
It does make a difference.
Yeah, it does. It really definitely does. But again, you know, just going back to the current situation, there is nobody, there is no manager that we can get. There's no manager on the planet that can come in and turn this around and make us wicked again within a couple of weeks. It's not going to happen.
No. Like you say, just you know, consolidate this season, stay up, and then take it on from there.
And if the board can get Silva, they say to him, look, we've got this idea of where we want to be. It didn't work out the last guy. We've identified you now, and you're going to get a bit of time to do this. As long as, you know, things aren't drastically spinning out of control and we're really in trouble, you know, you're going to get time. And if it means that this season we finish in 15th, 14th, so be it. If it means next season we have to build again and, you know, we're looking at mid-table again, so be it. But as long as if you graft it out, as long as things look like they're continuing to go in the right direction, fine. That you just have to sit in and then, you know, and give a manager a bit of time to instill his philosophy and his ideas. And I think Silva has some good ideas. The issue is there with Silva, though, is he hasn't got that longevity. He hasn't been anywhere for an over amount of time. But he's getting an opportunity with a big enough club. He evidently wants the job. And if it is him, then we have to give him the time. He needs to, you know, be allowed to express himself and that breathing space to you know, implement his own ideas. And the board also have to, you know, fully get behind him. And I think if we do those things and we do what we can as supporters and then they do what they can as professionals, then I think the club will start to go in the right direction, because although it's an unbalanced squad, that there are some decent individual footballers and among them.
Absolutely. What do you make of the fact that he's only been there 12 games and appears to be willing to jump ship?
See, on the one side, again, you know, I suppose it depends how you look at that, doesn't it, Dave? Because, I mean, he's not showing an overt amount of loyalty to people who've given him a chance, and you could argue, you know, that he could do that to us. Yeah, I get that. But on the flip side, from the Watford perspective, they're not really a club that shows a lot of loyalty to managers either. I don't think he's got an overtly long contract there either. I keep on saying the word overtly. I don't know why, but yeah. So I'm it's one of them. If he look at the end of the day, he doesn't strike me that he's kicking up a fuss. He doesn't see that he's trying to force the move. He's just open to it, and that's fine. He's well within his right. If he throws his dummy out and stops taking the team and directly walking towards the best interests moving in the different direction to the interest of his employers, then I suppose we should look at that and go, well, that's not the best way to do it. But there's nothing I've seen of him that means that he's being disrespectful to what.
Oh no, absolutely, he's been fine.
Yeah,
he's been professional throughout.
Is it an issue for you though?
No, I'll be honest, because without wishing to sound big-headed or self-entitled, we should be able to go and get Watford's manager if we want him. And the money we've got and the stature generally higher up in the football food chain than Watford, yes, they may be above us in the table now. But, again, without wishing to be disrespectful, to the neutral, which is the bigger club, where you go on, we had exactly the same debate with Southampton. Southampton finished above us. We got their manager at first, asking. Yeah. You know, so it's just the same thing over again. The 12 games thing is a little bit of an unusual one, because it's unusual to see a manager start, you know, get a third of the way through the season, then go to another club in that league. But, you know, I suppose it's the first for everything.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. So let's just quickly then, before we finish, just run down the odds. I'm on the sackrace.com again, which I really like this website, and it's always more fun, I suppose, when Everton are involved. But it's interesting just to look at like other clubs and who's being linked with the vacant manager's position or the manager's position. Sometimes they haven't obviously sacked the manager. Really good website. I advise everybody to check it out. Marco Silva is top with Paddy Power. He's 6-5. I don't know if I'm saying that. I think I'm saying them odds right. Yeah, it's 5-2, 6-5. I'm not really a betting man. David Unsworth's at 5-2. Then this one's an interesting one. Louis van Gaal at 4-1. Where's that coming from?
I wonder, is that right? I'll be perfectly honest here. I think that one's been sort of fabricated by the bookies to reinvigorate a stagnant market of next Everton manager. Where it's come from, I don't know. I'm not an in the know. I'd like to, if I could broadcast that now, I'm not an in the know. I don't know. I don't know where that's come from. It would replacing an arrogant Dutchman with another arrogant Dutchman really be the best thing? I don't know. Out of the two, I'd go for Silva. Not sure where that's
would
come
you?
From. So,
hey? Would you? Would you go for Silva, would you?
I'd go for Silva over Van Gaal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So personally, yeah.
He's 66, so I think you think Roy Hodgson's just taken the job. He's 70 at Palace, so you know he's a little bit younger than him. I think, I mean, look at his honours as a manager.
No, don't get me wrong. Impressive. Yeah, no problem. He's obviously, you know, he's earned his money elsewhere. Yeah. I'm not saying he's rubbish. I just think we could do with somebody who's a bit younger, a bit more. You know, I just get the feel that if it was Van Gaal, maybe he's just coming to keep his hand in, whereas Silva is in the Premiership. He's higher than us in the Premiership. He obviously wants to do more. He can see the budget he's going to have. He can see what he can build. So I would take any.
That's good. I would actually be pretty happy with Louis van Gaal, to be honest with you. I think he's a manager comes with a bit of pedigree. And I know the football wasn't great at Manchester United, but I'm wondering whether or not he could potentially make us a little bit more defensively solid.
Perhaps. Again, I mean, that's a plus pedigree. Point.
But that's just my opinion on whether or not it comes down to him or Marco Silva. I know it's tough to say that. I mean, they've both got their pros and their cons.
Yeah. But what you're saying about the defence is perfectly understandable. I mean, that's exactly what we would have wanted someone like Allardyce to do, isn't it? So, you know.
Well, that's exactly what you'd expect someone like Ronald Koeman to do. But there you go.
That's true.
So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens with that. But, yeah, Dave, so anyway, there's the odds for the current manager's market. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, get over and check out Andy C's match report on thegrandoldteam.com if you want to read that. That's on the homepage now, and also check out our podcast last week during the international break on the mental health thread on the forum. We've had some great coverage from that as well, and I think that's been I've had some nice tweets and people sending me messages on that, and I know Dave's had some very complimentary things written about him on the forum as well. So thank you to everyone who's listened to that. It's nice to know that, you know, so many people have enjoyed it and found it maybe a little bit helpful, so that's good.
Yeah, Dave, I can only second that. Thank you, everyone, again.
Yeah, and then also there are sponsorship opportunities available with grandoldteam.com and with the podcast or whatever. So get in contact if you you want to reach a load of engaged football fans with your message, and we'll have a little conversation about what we can do. And obviously then, you know, if we do get a bit of financial help, I suppose it would help us to create more content. It would help me get around and do the more interviews and stuff. So that'd be good. But yeah, anyway, as always, thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Dave, thank you for joining me.
Most welcome, anytime.
He was in the middle of sipping his beer then, wasn't he?
I was, yeah.
As always, much appreciated. Make sure you give us a subscribe, a like, and a share, and we'll see you again next time on the Grand Old Team podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's a Grand Old Team
to
play for. It's a Grand Old Team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart